word of peace, a word of hope, a word that sustains. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me on the submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And today my sermon title is, Have You Considered? And my main preaching will come from the book of Job. I will end with thoughts on the gospel, but I'm going to focus a little bit on the book of Job. Get an opportunity to preach Job in the church. We ought to, because it is not one of the most favorite of stories in the Bible. And I wanted to share this story with you, this reflection, which just happened recently. And it's a true story about a young man, maybe not as young now, maybe in his 50s, who has answered his call, or is seeking to answer his call to serve God. And he writes a reflection. And so I'm not giving his name or anything like that, but I listened to his reflection as he was speaking to a group of us, and he wrote his thought. When you're answering your call, going through the process of ministry, you have to write your call statement. You have to write the reason why you believe God is going to use you in ministry. We all had to do it. We're expected to do it. And then those who are sitting there read and listen and see how truthful it may be, or how sincere, or we're moved by it. And this gentleman wrote his story. I just took parts of it and just to use in this preachment. And it begins, and I wish I could read it, the whole thing. It was so moving, it would bring you to tears. But he begins, this section that I took out reads, he says, "My early years were filled with what many would consider tragedy, and I suppose this isn't an appropriate characterization. My oldest brother, Wayne, was born with muscular dystrophy and passed away just before his 15th birthday. I was 9 when he died, and he was buried the day before my 10th birthday. A few years later, our farm was foreclosed, and we lost it entirely when I was 15 years old. Shortly after my 17th birthday, my mom left us without so much as a goodbye. Ultimately, before my 18th birthday, we had lost our home, a family member, and our family itself. I had watched my mom pray for my brother's health and his life to be spared. She would ask God to take her instead. He did not oblige. My dad would pray for abundance from our crops in hopes of saving our farm. God had a different plan. My sister would pray for peace between my mom and dad. It never came. I simply felt like a lost bystander, just looking for a way out. It is awfully hard to maintain faith in God when it seems he has allowed this world to take everything from you. Yet, it is important to never forget the words of my grandpa. Maybe not what we want, but always what we need. Through those early years that were both good and bad, I never really prayed in the traditional sense of prayer. I did not kneel by my bed at night for prayer, although we always said grace before our meals. If Daddy was not home to say the blessing, we would say the one that Mama taught us. God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. By his hands we are fed, give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. And God always gave us our daily bread. Even though I didn't pray in the traditional sense, I would often talk to God." And then he continues, which I'll end with. "We enter this week into one of the most difficult and theologically sophisticated books of the Old Testament, the book of Job. Virginia Woolf spoke for many readers of Job when she wrote to a friend, I read the book of Job last night. I don't think that God comes out of it well. The book of Job can be hard. Let's look at the text. As we read the text, we see certain things happening that is difficult for us. We have all had our Job moment, or we continue to go through that. As we look at the book, and my need is not specific to any, are more important than anybody else's need. But this way, this week, as Methodist clergy, we have had our Job moment. One of our beloved pastor passed away at 57. And on Monday, a woman I knew was my SPR chair, an excellent SPR chair for many years, passed away. So I had a death on Monday. Monday I found out she had died. I knew that she had been sick and had gone to see her. And she had been battling pancreatic cancer. And then on Tuesday, heard that our beloved colleague, the funeral would be Tuesday and Wednesday. And we had been praying. And Lord knows I had been praying. Zamzam knows. And other folks who have been with me know we've been praying certainly for both of them to live here on earth, praying to God, and God has spoken. So one can, we understand. And when this young man's paper came before and I was looking at it, we were all having our Job moment here, because every clergy and laity sitting at that place, we had tears in our eyes because we understand. And I'm sure everybody here understand that moment in time, and if you haven't, you will. I pray you don't, but life is like that, wherein you've prayed and prayed, and the answer you're looking for doesn't seem to come the way you're thinking, the way we wanted. Have you considered? Job was a man who lived in Oz. We just heard the story, and from what we read in the text, he was an honest man, a righteous man, a good man. Right? They said he was totally devoted to God and he hated evil with a passion. And I always think through all the beauty of these stories in the Bible that we could talk with God. Because certainly if Satan can show up and talk to God and question God, we can show up and talk to God and tell God how we feel. Can't we, church? Certainly. Right? That God is not always expecting us. Well, that's the one who we could take our burdens to. And do we always tell God how much we love him? Yes, I do, but I tell him sometimes that I don't get it. I don't get what happened last week. I don't understand it, God. And I'm still standing because God allows that. Because who else am I going to tell? Really tell my heart pain. Who else will I tell my heart pain? There is nobody else I could tell my heart pain to the way I could tell it to God. Because each individual has their own heart pain. And it says in the Bible, one day when the angels came to report to God, Satan showed up. And God singled out Satan and said, what have you been doing? What are you doing, Satan? And Satan would say to God, I am roaming the earth seeking whom I may devour. To and fro. To and fro. He's back and forth seeking. The enemy, the devil, Satan, evil, is always seeking whom He may devour. He or she, I could say, but I would like to submit that I think Satan is a he. Just kidding, man, he's not. It's a he or she. Just kidding, man, because we are just as bad, we women. Can be anyhow. But you know, they're trying to change the Bible to make it, you know, asexual or something, so we could never say he for Satan. We'll just say that person, the bad person, or something like that. But anyhow, and so here he is, God singled, and then God said to Satan, have you noticed, have you considered my servant Job? I have been telling the Lord, please don't consider me for anything like that. Please, God, I know I'm a woman of faith and I love you and I am seeking your face and I'm praying, but don't consider me. Could you consider somebody else? Please, God. But it's not up to us.
Have you considered? That's a statement that has been theologically exegeted and thought about for years. We have not been able to understand, right? Because that is a kind of question. But the other side, some theologians will say, well, listen, a little bit more conservative theologians, not the liberal theologians, because it's exegeted from a different standpoint. But to say that, well, isn't it good that God thinks that you could withstand it, right? Isn't it good that God could say, have you considered my servant Marjorie? Shouldn't it be a good thing that one wants to happen? I mean, at one side of the story, you want God to be able to consider you and use you as an example. But at the other side, you're scared, aren't you? Yeah, you're scared of what may be coming. I'm scared. I'll speak for myself. I'm glad that God wants to lift me up and says, have you considered this woman? She's going to withstand everything. The next side, I'm trembling. I'm like, Lord God, am I going to really live up to this test? But here's the part. Then God said to Satan, and he says, there's no one quite like him, that he's honest and true, and his word is totally devoted to God and hating evil. He still has a firm grip on his integrity, God said. You tried to trick me into destroying him, but it didn't work. And Satan answered, and I'm reading from the Message Bible, Satan answered, because life is good with Job, so to speak. Job has everything. He's got a big family. He's got a wife. He's got, you know, land and all of that. It's easy for him to be righteous. It's easy for him to believe God because everything is going well. And then bold Satan said to God, why don't you take away, do something to him. You know, do something. He says, he's God. You do anything you want to him and see what happens. And see what happens. And do you know what, church? What did God say? Have you ever read the book of Job? God says what? I'm going to allow you, Satan, right? He says, I'm going to allow you to take away everything except I will not let you kill him. That means Job is going to meet hell. Things are going to happen to Job, but God was sure that Job would not curse him. God was sure. But I will not allow you to kill him. God says, all right, go ahead. You can do what you like with him, but mind you, don't kill him. The Message Bible says. So God would put an edge of protection around Job. And Job was going to go to hell. In the first chapter of the book, chapter 2 now, we see all of what Job goes through, which I'll give you in summary. And the entire book of Job, the 30-odd chapter, I believe is 38 or more, is going to be about the dialogue. You'll see it in the next 2 weeks. I won't be here. I would love to have been here to break up the pieces. You're going to see it it may be preached in the next couple of weeks. You'll see where Job's friends and everybody's going to tell him, you must have sinned against God, why that is happening to you. It's going to what? The story's going to get bigger and bigger, and you're going to see the end. Right? I'm hoping on the 21st, the end is preached. So you'll get it. But here's what it says in this. And Satan left God and struck Job with terrible sores. Job was with ulcers and scabs from head to foot. And they said the sores, they itched him and they oozed and all of that. And he was in bad shape. And he sat in a heap of ashes. He literally wanted to die, Job. And his wife, poor Job, is not going to divorce her. You know, he's on the Old Testament. Jesus has spoke about it. We'll hear that at the end. He says, his wife is taunting him. His wives, do you know what? Well, we could do that sometimes, right? Taunting him. His wife said, you're still holding on to your precious integrity? Or you curse God and be done with it. Or curse God and live, as the NRSV says. Curse, why don't you just curse God? And get out of your pain. He told her, you're talking like an empty-headed fool, the Message Bible says. We take good days from God. Why not also the bad days?
Not once through all of this did Job sin. He said nothing against God. Now, how many of us are going to be like Job? Right? And so we're going to see here Job, number one, God gave Job permission, gave the Satan permission to attack Job. Now, whether or not this is a true story, it's an allegory, whatever it may be, it is left for us to understand that evil comes to good, to those who are good, and those who are bad. Bad things happen to good people, right? And sustaining it is not easy. And so here we are. What do we do now with a story in which God and Satan enter into a divine wager? They enter into a divine plan, a wager, using Job as an unwitting pawn in their game. Because we see God handing over Job to Satan. We see him losing his children. How do we respond to a book in which God answers Job's anguish by reminding Job that he's the God of creation? You're going to see later on, as Job is questioning God and Job is asking God why, God is going to say to Job, "Where were you when I created the universe? I'm God. Whatever I choose to do is what I do." God, at least on the initial reading, does not come out looking good. And yet, this book, difficult as it is, has spoken to people of faith through the centuries. Job, in the great lament tradition of ancient Israel, wrestles profoundly with God. You see, we are called not to give up, but to wrestle with God. Right? The book of Job shows that we can wrestle with God like Jacob wrestled with God. Jacob would say, "I'm not going to let go until you bless me." Right? But we're going through. Now, we who are pastors this week, this is the pastor I've been praying for. God Almighty, you know, I prayed every prayer I know. I have brought several people from this church, Zamzam and Christine and Joan, and other folks have come for me. I have prayed every prayer. I prayed for hours for my sister. I anointed her. I prayed for her. Serve her communion on my knees, standing up, laying down, weeping before God. Prayed and prayed, and no one could tell me that she was not going to rise up. And I know about death. I'm a pastor. But I prayed and prayed, and I believed in my heart that she would have more time on earth. Was her sickness serious? Yes. Was it very serious? But I prayed and I believed that God would heal her here on earth. I know she's healed because she's in heaven. But I was looking for a different end result. Truth be told, church today, I was looking for a different end result. This day, she was 57. We'll be 57 next week. And she was a brilliant lawyer who had lived through 9/11. She was a lawyer downtown 9/11. And that day when the building fell, her building was speared. And she walked from Manhattan to Queens as white, full with the soot and all of that. And she was 20-something years in as a lawyer. She had gone to Barnard, Columbia University, then went to law school, very bright, and then after that, answered a call to ministry and went to seminary, even though she had a young daughter. Decided to serve God because of what God had done. And come to find out the blood cancer that attacked her body, they say they think it's a pattern from those who have came out of 9/11. Who would have thought? And we prayed. But we're wrestling with God. I don't think I've had a good night's sleep since Tuesday thinking about what happened, what didn't happen, why God. But as my soul wrestles with God, I am trusting God, holding on to God. There is no other hope or no other place but to trust God. This is what Job is going to, will do. And I'm not the only one. They're all the clergy that know her, all of us in the annual conference,
will be dear. How many people she has baptized and buried and done, and now here it is. Have you considered my servant Job? The Lord said, we don't understand it. We could exegete it. We could try to interpret it. But we don't truly get it. But what we have to do is trust God. And so, here's the story that continues. A little piece of that story. That man who would have the same experience had gone through a lot, this young man. And now he says, my family and I continue the story from the beginning. He says, my family and I had attended church over the years, but we never fully committed ourselves to God as He intends for us to. I lived my young adult life with the scars of tremendous loss that I often blamed on God. In many ways, I turned my back on God and found myself going to church for all the wrong reasons. You know, a sense of community, a place to make friends, a good environment for my kids, and the amazing worship band. And he puts a smiley face. Nowhere in this equation was God, Jesus, regeneration, or sanctification in the story. And one evening, while working late, I was sitting in my office and I began to take inventory of my life. I started to list the byproducts of my then, at that time he was 34 years, on this earth. And he started listing, he says, I grew up on a farm, lost the farm, lived in a farm, a hay shed, and could see the sunlight through my back bedroom wall. We lost that home, lost my mother, lost my brother, parents divorced. And then I served in the army for nearly 19 years, served and directly supported two presidents. I have spent time in the White House, traveled to 18 countries, many, many more than once, married the love of my life, had three of the greatest kids a man could hope for, co-founder of a successful business, own a nice home with plenty of room for my family, live in a suburban community, with lots of amenities, design and develop tactical communication systems for the military, and many of these systems are still in use today. After looking the list over, I was struck with guilt and saddened to know I had lost my way. Here I was 34 years old and had lived an unbelievable life. If I went back to the small town where I came from and told anyone that knew me, as a kid, the story of my life, they would not believe me. Sitting there, I realized that I had turned away from God, but He had never left my side.
Amen.
That's the story, isn't it? In fact, He provided me with the only thing I had ever asked for, was an unbelievable life. And then he writes, God had provided not only those things that I needed, but He had also provided me with more than I ever deserved. Yet I was empty, sitting there at my desk, searching for purpose and seeking a meaning for my life. It was at that point I truly turned back to God, rededicated my life to Him and my family. Friends, God will not leave us. He was able to look through his life and saw all the bad had happened. And then he was reminded of all the good. This is a true story. Just heard it last week as we read it all together. Do we understand why Job had to suffer and lose his children? No, but the story doesn't end there. At the end, things are going to be restored for Job. I'm not going to get to the end in case the next preacher after me is going to say that it's not going to get to the end. And so there are two things from the gospel narrative today I want to close with. Just two or three things from the gospel narrative. Number one, we cannot test God. We can't test God. Right? We could ask God questions. We see the Pharisees trying to test Jesus, but they never win. So we can't test God. We could ask God questions. We cannot say to God, we don't understand. And God, through Jesus Christ, is willing to explain. We'll take the time to speak to us, but we can't test God. We're not going to win. Number two, we could question God, but let us be prepared that we're not going to always get the answer we are expecting. Haven't we been there and done that? We could ask God questions, but we don't always get the answer we are looking for. And how do I, and I know that well. But I believe in my heart God has the right answer for us. And number three, God expects us to trust Him no matter what. The outcome of our, it doesn't matter how the outcome or how difficult it may be, God expects us to trust Him. And we see that at the very end of the little gospel narrative about little children, that they think they figured Jesus out, and the disciples were taking the little children from Jesus, didn't want, the parents were bringing them to be blessed. And what did Jesus say here? Jesus got, they said, the Bible says He got angry, right? That we don't know the mind of God. And He says, let the little children come unto Me and do not stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. And He says, truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And He took them in His arms and He laid His hands on them and blessed them. So here's the closing words for us. We have to love and trust God like children. We can't always use our intellect. Our intellect is just going to bring us pain and confusion. If I was to analyze Job today, I could walk away from my faith. If I was to analyze it and believe it, right? If I became analytic, completely analytic, just all reason without the heart to trust God, I could walk away from God, right? Can't we? Because God, I've been praying and praying. So what? Lots of people have been praying and praying. Marjorie, you're not that unique. Other people have been praying, seeking God, wanting to find God. So what? But I'm still going to believe in Him. So we are reminded, we're not unique in our grief. God is with us. And every now and then we have a pity party about all the bad that has happened to us. We could what? Look back over our life. The songwriter says, I've looked over my life and I've got a testimony. You know what a testimony is? That I was tested and I came through of all the good that God has done. So we have got to have what? We've got to have the scales when we're talking about God and see the balancing. Because God has been good to us even in spite of ourselves. Amen. And Job will know that. Because my Bible tells me that at the very end, after much questioning and his friends talking about him, at the very end of Job, God is going to restore to Job much more than he had lost. Thanks be to God. And whether or not God restores things physically for us, God was going to do what? Be with him, and he's going to be with us. Every pastor today is grieving. The church who has lost this pastor is grieving. God is with us. Because we are all coming together to get this great funeral for her as she rejoices in heaven. And yes, we will weep. And weeping may endure for a night. But we know that joy comes in the morning. Huh? And so we know that she's in heaven rejoicing with the Lord because she was a wonderful singer and played the piano. And we thank God for her life and her ministry that God allowed her to do for many years among our people. And we know that one day yet we'll see her. So as we weep, we rejoice in knowing that she died knowing Christ. So friends, with Job's story, remember, when you look at your life, look at the good and the bad and enjoy the good. And God will give you the strength to go through what is not all that good. Thanks be to God for His faithfulness. Amen.